I'm going to be talking about family of origin. And I started into this, and I can tell even like in where I'm at right now, my spirit is still settling, because I started into this all week, and it didn't actually sit with me what exactly I was going to be speaking of until last night, because there was one spot I just couldn't move past. So I'm going to start out on the side of family of origin, but I'm going to shift gears into something that really settled from that. So when I say family of origin, I'm talking about the family that you grew up in, that you were raised in, your brothers, your sisters, no matter what you think of them, you know, all these people that were a part of so many years of your life, And because the fact is that a lot of how we live was shaped by that, right? So much of what we think about money, relationships, how we walk down the street, you know, how you use your voice, stuff like that was learned by our family of origin, and even encouraged or not encouraged by our brothers, sisters, mothers, fathers. And there could be some heavy stuff in that, and there can also be some really great stuff. The idea is that, you know, what we teach our children would be like a blessing, like the knowledge of God that we share with our children, who he is, how to connect with him, how much he loves. That should pass from one to the next right? That's the heart behind it. And it doesn't always work like that. If we're not following, or if that's not what we're teaching, or if that's what we pick up, even the best intended hearts, it's never a perfect story, is it? And yet, it totally is. Totally is. He redeems anything and everything. I want that to sit in your mind today. He redeems anything and everything. Verse Proverbs 22:6. Here's a familiar one. Direct your children onto the right path, and when they're older, they will not leave it. You know, I've seen plenty of situations where I've always wondered about this verse, because I'm like, you know, I know I have a lot of good Christian friends who, like, their kids grew up and they walked away from the Lord. And I'm like, I know they grew up, you know, learning a lot of really good things. I'm starting to learn these things myself and see how this looks. So I have an 8-year-old son and a 5-year-old daughter. So my son Emmett and my daughter Lucy. Like this week, I was like, you know, I was really tired one day. They just wanted to watch TV, and I'm like, oh, I'm going to be like a good Christian parent. So we're going to watch The Chosen instead of Pokemon, you know? And so we turn on this episode of The Chosen. I'm like, okay, there's one in there that's where Jesus heals a leper, and then he heals paralytic that was lowered through the roof. I'm like, that's a great episode. It's, you know, like totally good for Lucy. She's 5. It's going to be fine. So Emmett, he gets into it, man. He loves the visual. He's totally excited. I mean, they do a good job with it. It's really awesome. Lucy, I spend the next 3 days explaining to her how leprosy is not coming to Bayfield. I was like, that is not what I expected. Every kid is so different, right? So even like your best piece, like the best that you could bring, man, you got to meet them where it's at. What's intended is a wonderful thing. 2 Timothy 1:5 says, this is Paul speaking to Timothy, I remember your genuine faith, for you share the faith that first filled your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I know that same faith continues strong in you. Man, that's what we hope for, right? That is what we hope for. That's what I hope for. I heard, you know, a gentleman I really respect, Mr. Jakin Pendleton. He's one of the missionaries that we support. He shared this story a couple times, so I'm going to paraphrase a story of his because he'd have to be perfect about the details. But basically, one day the Lord said, hey, I want you to go down to Mexico, and I want you to do some ministry in this place or that place. And so go and do this. And so he's like, okay. So he takes what resources he has and, you know, loads up his wife and his kids, and the whole family goes. So they go down there, and they have enough resources to get down there, but not enough resources to get back. And so, but he goes. He knows. And so they start coming back, and he's like watching that needle go back on the gas, right? He's running out of gas. He has no money to buy anything or whatnot. And he's like, it is what it is. Like, I was obedient. Here I am. So he pulls into a gas station eventually, and he walks over, and someone comes to meet him, a total stranger, and says, hey, the Lord told me to give you this money. Hands him $100 to $200. I forget exactly how much. So you know what he does is he takes the money, and the first thing that he does is he shows it to his son, and he says, see, this is how it works. The Lord is always there. He says, go, you go. Right? This isn't just something you read in a book. This is how it is, because he is who he says he is. So that's what we all hope for, right? That's what I want to strive to teach my kids. I definitely see that with Emmett right now. Emmett, he knows all the stories. Like, not all of them, but he knows a ton of the stories. He memorizes things so fast. But he's at a point where if I don't engage him in the material, like what Jakin did, I don't know what to do. He's brilliant. But I can see that's a gap for him now. He'll lose interest. He totally loses interest. I can read him a new story, and it just doesn't sit in his heart. And this is something that Jesus was particularly awesome at. You know, he took the word, and I would say this is how I've come to interpret it in a lot of ways. There's others too, but he would take the word, and he would correctly handle the word of truth so that he didn't just spout off scripture, but he applied it to the people that he was ministering to in a way that it met them in their heart. And it brought the healing. Okay, even like you have the guy that, the paralytic that was lowered through the roof. What does he say? He says, your sins are forgiven. Your sins are forgiven. He speaks right to the problem in the heart that's really the biggest deal. And he says, but so that you may know that the Son of Man has authority to forgive sins, I'm going to heal his body. But the first and foremost, he saw to the heart. He saw to the heart. And that's what he went for. The healing was just to do that. Let me ask you this. Anybody who's got any kind of health issue, right? If the Lord healed you, as far as health is concerned, would that have eternal consequences? Not necessarily. He just healed your body that's still going to die, right? But if he reaches your heart by doing that, does that have eternal consequences? Yes, it does. Okay? Correctly handles the word of truth, right? Meets people where they're at. I heard an interesting story where a friend of mine, he mentioned that in his family, his dad is a very, very faithful man, was called to minister and on missions and all that kind of stuff, and went out, did lots of stuff, brought their family everywhere. And one thing that happened, he's like, you know, it was an awesome life. We really were exposed to a lot of really good things. And yet, especially the girls in the family, had a really hard time just because with all of the ministry and with how they were doing things, dad didn't necessarily meet the girls emotionally where they needed to be. They're all walking away from their faith. The guys, not so much. The girls, they're interesting to see patterns on that, right? Correctly handle the word of truth. Correctly handle the word of truth. So as I process this, you know, we brought up the book Emotionally Healthy Spirituality plenty of times. It's by Pete Scazzaro. Great book. You know, it's like, it's got all these chapters. I find it's one of those books that I pick up consistently at different seasons of my life. Like, I've been wearing glasses for 2 years, small tangent, 2 years this month. And the first time I got glasses, I stood in front of the mirror and I cried. And not because I'm like, oh, look how ugly I look now. I was like, it was more of a thing of like, man, I just like, things are declining on me. And I felt that grief. And so I opened up, they have a chapter on like, you know, grief and loss. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I gotta do this so I can look myself in the mirror. But great resource. They have one that, there's a chapter in there that says, going back to go forward. Going back to go forward. And it talks about all the things that we pick up from our family. You know, good, not so good, but the things that go generationally down. And as I sat with the Lord on that, and I was processing, like what is it about, like, that you want me to speak to in a message that would really encompass this? Gosh, I couldn't get past this one thing that I've watched break so many families apart. And it's caused a lot of havoc in my life, and I watch it in so many lives. I really doubt anyone will escape this one. And it's this context of rejection. Rejection. And that's what I'm going to speak to today. I would love to dig deeper into like how your family was and like here's some revelations and all that stuff. Can I just tell you, like, one of the greatest hurts for a family is when one is rejected to another. You don't have family when it's like that. You have people sitting together But family is something that is born of the heart. It is born of the heart, and it manifests accordingly. When you can look to the next person and you can love, and you can see clearly, and you can be excited, and you can hold on to their prophetic pieces in life, just as they hold on to it, man, it's so, so different. And when I talk about rejection, I'm not talking about like the getting a few no's to things here or there. I'm talking about like in the places that were supposed to be safe, or you had people that you were in great trust with, and then hurt happened. Almost like when you were invited to a table, but then not treated like the family that was there, separated though present. Those are the kinds of things I'm talking about. Because rejection, man, it tears it up from there. Tears it up. And I want to speak to what it creates spiritually, because frankly, like to really even have like good relationship with the Father, to step into a family where you're being raised up in a heavenly family, man, there's things that have to fall off, right? There's things that have to drop off. But even like, I'm going to share a message next week about what it means for us to be together as a family, as a church. And gosh, if we don't get this is brutal. This is such an open door for hurt, okay? I've seen it so much, and it will continue unless by faith we stand there, okay? Rejection stands against everything that the cross has purchased in our lives, everything. Think about it. The very first thing that the Lord did to bring you back into his family, like to set you as a son or a daughter. What is the verse that I read last week? It said that for those who believed him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. Okay? The very first thing that he did is that he died on the cross for our sins so that we would be made acceptable where we were previously rejected, where we were previously unworthy. And that verse I shared last week, it said, we have been brought before the Father without a single fault. You grasp that for yourself. Without a single fault. So if you are brought to the Father without a single fault, but you feel faulted in that, have we not agreed with rejection in our lives? The thing about rejection is that it's like any lie, okay? It only has power in your life if you give it power, okay? You can't change the fact that someone has rejected you, okay? That has happened, right? You can't argue that out. You don't want to minimize it and stuff, but you don't want to give it power, okay? Or else you'll be a slave to it. Remember last week we talked about how the Emancipation Proclamation, it was signed into effect to free all of the slaves in the United States, right? Like no more slavery, abolishing slavery. But the slaves didn't actually know what it was like to be free until they walked away from their masters. Till they left their masters, even though they're signed free, it was legally free the second that was signed. They didn't know what freedom was like till they walked away from it. Rejection is the same way. Rejection is the same way. Okay, why is rejection such a hurtful thing? What's the effects of rejection? Okay, rejection sends the message that you shouldn't expect to receive anything good. It's a feeling of unworthiness. That's the message it sends, right? It says, if I can go to a place where people who value me say that I'm not worthy, then I really must not be worthy. If I can go to a place like in my family, of the place where it's meant to be cherished and enjoyed, delighted in, and I have rejection there, then these people love me. This must be the truth. Easy to go there, right? Easy to go there. And here's what happens with rejection. When you have this feeling of unworthiness, like something else, like something good couldn't come to you, what that fosters is unbelief. This is where you have a problem with God now. When you let that seed of unworthiness sit in your heart, what that says is, because I can't expect to receive anything good from my life, how do you receive the promises of God? You receive them through faith. So if you don't believe that you can receive something good for your life, how are you going to receive from God? I bet you that each one of us, if we inventory a place, like if we just, like, you think about something good in your life that you're like, you know what, I want this for my life, or I want this for my heart. And you read in the Bible where it's like, wow, God wants this for my life too. So if I want it and God wants it, then why isn't this happening? And of course, there's like timing things and all that stuff, but there's obviously a receiving problem. And it's almost like, you know, say somebody, let's say that I grew up in like my family of origin. This isn't the case, but just for example, in my family of origin, I grew up thinking, you know what, financial wealth is the greatest, or financial stability is the greatest thing that I could give my family. All right, let's say that I grew up with that mentality, and that just comes, and I walk in it, I don't even think about it. And then one day, my birthday's coming up, and my five-year-old daughter were to say, come up to her mom and say, I want to throw Dad a big party. I want to make an awesome surprise. I want to do something wonderful. And so mom gets on board, and then my eight-year-old son gets on board, and they all work together, and they do this really awesome thing, right? And then they have this big old surprise party, and I look at it, and all I can think about is how much it costs. Oh. Do you see where this comes? It's so sneaky. It's so sneaky. But rejection gives way to unbelief. Unbelief is a problem in our relationship with God. And do you think it'll create issues with receiving from others too? Always, yes. Big time. And in giving to others. What are some of the other things that come up like associated with rejection? You can get common ones, resentment. Right? Resistance. There's some other, it's easy to isolate. You know, one of my favorite verses, or I say favorite verses, one that always ties in with this is paraphrase, a man who isolates himself seeks only his own interest and rages against wisdom. Very interesting. Rages against wisdom. That's a strong statement. So look what happened. Look what rejection causes you to do. Sets you in a place where you isolate, you rage against wisdom because you can't receive the very thing you need. And you know, the enemy, when he comes to steal and kill and destroy, you have to keep this in mind. He came and he did that to something that was innocent, a child of God. In our innocence, he came to us. And then when we made a choice that where we became guilty, he's like, accuse, accuse, accuse. So it happens. Why? So that rejection sits into place. How do you come into a family that doesn't receive you? The thing about this is that we can only, rejection only has power over us if we make an agreement with it. Okay? Because here's the thing. If he said you're without a single fault, and that's difficult to believe, rejection has taken place somewhere. Okay, and whether it's that rejection has happened in like an example in your life, or that like you don't feel worthy of God, of God's sacrifice for you, we're not worthy, but he called us worthy. So therefore, where are you going to put your trust? It's a decision. You know, there's a verse, Acts 13:46. Then Paul and Barnabas answered them boldly, "We had to speak the word of God to you at first. Since you reject it and you do not consider yourselves worthy of eternal life, we now turn to the Gentiles." What this verse really is saying is like, you know what? We spoke to you, but you wouldn't have it. You wouldn't have it. And so therefore, like, because you wouldn't receive it for whatever reason, it could have been past rejection in your life or whatnot that you know, is now creating an unbelief. Or it could be a number of things. But the fact is that the good news, the best news, like God came to your house, right? For you. The best news came to your house. And no matter what you knew before, this is saving so many souls. Saving so many souls. And not just their souls, but their lives. It's turning the lives around. It's turning the families around. It's turning the friends around. It's putting the orphans in families. Look at the evidence. It's there. You know, a statement that I heard a teacher say, there is no barrier. There is no barrier to coming home except the one in your own heart. Rejection sets itself against that. When you can't receive, it's an issue of unbelief. Okay, it's an issue of unbelief. And here's the thing. Have compassion on yourself and others, okay? Because here's what the Lord does. He comes and he opens our eyes. He opens our eyes, okay? Maybe we can't receive, and maybe we stay in this place of rejection, or we have agreed with this rejection, because, man, we don't have eyes to see the truth. I'm going to get there in just a sec, but I want to read this out of Mark chapter 11, verse 22 through 24. I think I put 25 up there too, but it says, then Jesus said to the disciples, have faith in God. I tell you the truth, you can say to this mountain, may you be lifted up and thrown into the sea, and it will happen. But you must really believe it will happen and have no doubt in your heart. I tell you, you can pray for anything. And if you believe that you've received it, it will be yours. Okay, reception's a big issue. Reception's a big issue. I think I have one more verse in the next one. I didn't put it in my notes. Thank you. But when you are praying, first forgive anyone you are holding a grudge against so that your Father in heaven will forgive your sins too. Again, to the heart. To the heart. Correctly handling the word of truth. Look what rejection has put in there. This verse, to me, this verse speaks so much to rejection. Why? Because it's meant to increase your faith. Again, your trust in God. It's meant to increase your trust in God. Because what did rejection do? It cut out your trust in God. Your willingness to receive. And so then, it's like, increase your faith. Then get rid of all this stuff. And sometimes sometimes you say, Lord, I forgive this person and all that stuff, and there's like miraculous healing, right? And it happens in the moment. And then there's those times where he's like, I actually want you to practice this. I want you to practice this. So he gives you a little bit of healing at a time. You know, I had this, I'll get into a testimony here in a minute about this because I'm like so excited about it. Because I have healing, and I speak this message out of someone who is working through some rejection in my life. And also as someone who has rejected others in my life at this time. So I'm in the middle. I feel both sides. Can anybody relate? So in this space, I'm feeling healing and I'm also being a jerk, right? And that's the reality of it. And I'm not like saying that's totally cool and okay and stuff, but gosh, laugh at your own story a little bit, all right? This isn't meant to be a message where you leave like so heavy that you're just crying. Like, have compassion. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, abounding in love. You know what he does when he opens your eyes? He opens your eyes to see that statement. He is compassionate and abounding in love. Abounding, like jumping to you in love. Okay, Isaiah 61. Jesus said this, he was the fulfillment of this, okay? Isaiah 61 verse 1 says, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, and release from darkness for the prisoners. Can I tell you what all of that means? Okay, when it says he sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, if you look at the original language in that, basically it's like, I found the people in pieces, and I have come to tie them up. You know, you want to see how that like manifests physically? Give someone a hug. That's what that means. Why do you think that you feel so much better when someone gives you a solid hug? This is why I make a priority of it. Because the fact is that you bind up, you wrap up that which is broken. Why do you think you feel instantly better? Do you see how that works physically? The same is true of the Spirit. So Jesus, by the good news, he comes and he binds up the brokenhearted. Okay, he wraps them up. He's like, yes, again, correctly handles the word of truth. He could use the word to judge them, but what does he do? He wraps them up. Wraps them up. Proclaim freedom for the captives. So the word for captives there is somebody who's like locked up. All right, not necessarily somebody who's in a jail or whatnot, but they're just like frozen. Okay, they're frozen. And the word for freedom that it uses there is that they would flow like a river. Flow like a river. What does rejection do? It locks you up. It puts you in a hole where you feel like you have to hide. And it says, no, you will flow like a river as you believe me. Will you receive your healing? Will you receive your healing? Release the dark from darkness for the prisoners. This one, that whole statement, I look back into it, the whole statement just says, open your eyes to see for the first time. Open your eyes to see it for the first time. Jesus is anointed to preach the good news to the poor, to let you flow, to open your eyes, to bind you up. Does that sound like any kind of rejection to you? No, no, no. That's the work of the cross that healed you and continues to heal you. And guess what? Some of this healing, it's going to happen like that. And some of it, you're actually going to have to walk in to see it. That's how it works. Because that's how you build trust. That's how you build faith. That's how he works in you. Remember, you're in a family. You're getting raised up into a family, a heavenly family. And we're doing it together. So the hope is that this will be the best environment possible. This has always worked that way because we're all people, right? But that's the hope. The word that Kim shared in the very beginning, the compassionate God. Andy would always share this word in Exodus 34. I am the Lord, the God of compassion and mercy, slow to anger, filled with unfailing love and faithfulness. Man, that's what your eyes are getting open to. That's what your eyes are getting open to. Man, the unbelief, this isn't a condemning thing. This is the Father saying, you know, like in my example that I use, like if I had that money agreement and my whole family wanted to throw me a party, I know that my wife would have looked at me if I felt like that and said, oh, I just wish you could receive this. Did you see your daughter's face? Did you see how excited your son was to do that? Okay, that is the compassion of God to see you set right. The compassion of God to show up to your house for you and minister to you. So, I want to talk a little bit about what it looks like to find healing. Can we go to healing? Is that good? So, clearly, Jesus is the appropriate one. This is what he came to do. This is what he came to do. Like, this is, like, it's no surprise to him that this exists in your heart and in my heart. And he came to it. He came to it. And he set us free. So, first, there's this piece of, like, as with anything that you have to deal with in, like, repentance or to apologize or whatnot, you have to accept what is. Okay, acceptance does not mean that you have to be happy about what has happened in your life. You were rejected. Okay? Acknowledge, yes, this happened. Yes, this happened. And I don't have to be happy about it. It's just, this is what happened. Okay? And it's not a license to say, to use what happened against somebody else. Okay? But it's like, okay, let's start here. You know, have you ever had an apology from somebody? This is a personal pet peeve, all right? And I'm going to preface it with that. But have you ever had an apology from somebody where they said, if I've ever done that, I'm sorry? I'm like, you have no conviction of heart to say that. Don't call that an apology. You know, tell me like I can't see it. Be honest, right? Same concept here. Settle your heart on what's happened, okay? Settle your heart on what's happened. Because this is the first step in repentance, all right? And the thing about it is that repentance is required here. And here's why. You're like, wait, but somebody rejected me. What am I repenting of? Here's the thing. That only had power if you agreed with it. And you will have to repent of so many things you've agreed with to find freedom. It has to happen. If you keep believing the same things, that's the lack of reception, right? That's the unbelief right there. You can't grab to the new things. You can't grab to your own healing if you keep believing the same things. It's got to happen. So repentance, James 1:21. So get rid of all the filth and evil in your lives and humbly accept the word God has planted in your hearts, for it's the power to save your souls. Humbly accept that, you know, this shows up in so many different fashions. Like it's, you can hear it from one person, and depending on where their heart's at, you can like totally welcome it. From another, not so much. I think the Lord's really aware of this, right? I'd like to hope that I could hear it from everybody. I've just found I'm not like that. I don't know what the situation is. I'm not going to say there's anything wrong with me. It's an observation, okay? It's an observation. Maybe it's that I don't have the humility to hear it from everybody. Maybe. Or maybe it's that the Lord knows exactly how to speak to each one of his people. And he will send people to do that. And I'll share a testimony on that here in a minute. Repentance. We have to repent for where we've agreed with rejection in our lives. I'll walk through and pray on that here in a minute, but the last piece that I have found to be so important is you have to, like, it broke your trust, right? It broke your trust. So to reestablish trust, you have to take physical steps in walking towards trust, okay? Start with God. All right, because unbelief, that's where it broke trust with God. It's a receiving issue with God, all right? So take those steps and say, you know what? Like, you've said this in your word. I'm going to agree with that, and I'm going to go into it. Like, for example, I said I'm walking through this, and for myself, an example of that would be where I see I have resistance and resentment that I'm working through. So you know what I do every day? And I miss some days here or there, but I pray specifically to in a blessing way, in a blessing heart, things I'd want for myself towards each person that I have resentment with in this situation. I make a point to say, you know what? I've confessed my wrongdoing. I've confessed my unforgiveness. But you know what? This is a walking out thing. The Lord told me, I want you to practice this. You know what? You are blessed to be a blessing. So start walking in that, right? Take a faithful step to walk into your healing. Okay, a faithful step. Because that's how you walk back into acceptance. Just look at what's happening. When you take those steps to be a blessing, now what was broken is starting to mend. Even if you haven't even talked about it, right? Even if it hasn't even like manifested, it's happening in your own heart. And that's where it started. Rejection is like a curse. So walk in the obedience to the word to see your healing come to be, right? Do the opposite. Man, we are blessed to bless. It says, freely you have been given, freely give. Freely you have been given, freely give. Okay, let me give you a couple examples of what this looks like. John chapter 9, verse 1 through 7. As Jesus was walking along, he saw a man who had been blind from birth. Rabbi, his disciples asked him, why was this man born blind? Was it because of his own sins or his parents' sins? It was not because of his sins or his parents' sins, Jesus answered. This happened so the power of God could be seen in him. We must quickly carry out the tasks assigned to us by the one who sent us. The night's coming, and then no one will work. But while I am here in the world, I am the light of the world. Then he spit on the ground, made mud with the saliva, and spread the mud over the blind man's eyes. He told him, go wash yourself in the pool of Siloam. Siloam means sent. So the man went and washed and came back seeing. Let me ask you something. If he didn't go to that pool, do you think he would have been healed? Jesus said, go. Go and wash. And he did it, and he came back seeing. Surprise, surprise. Another one, Luke chapter 17, verse 11 through 19. As Jesus continued on toward Jerusalem, he reached the border between Galilee and Samaria. As he entered a village there, 10 men with leprosy stood at a distance crying out, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. He He looked at them and said, go show yourselves to the priests. And as they went, they were cleansed of their leprosy. One of them, when he saw that he was healed, came back to Jesus shouting, praise God. He fell on the ground at Jesus' feet, thanking him for what he had done. This man was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, didn't I heal 10 men? Where are the other 9? Has no one returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And Jesus said to the man, stand up and go. Your faith has healed you. A couple things. As they went, they were healed. As they went, they were healed. Okay? You have to agree with your healing. Where rejection took over is where you agreed with the rejection. That's got to turn. That's the place of repentance. Okay? But then walk in your healing and see how exciting it is. Right? See how exciting it is. It's not the burden that you have to add to your to-do list this week. Okay? It's the exciting thing that you've been invited into. Any resistance you feel in your heart is exactly that unwillingness to receive that unbelief has created because of that rejection. You know, it's squirming because it knows something is going to happen by the Holy Spirit. So it squirms. Hear that. Do you hear that today? The Lord is gracious and compassionate, abounding in love, opening your eyes to see it. And you know what happened? One of those men, one of those 10 lepers, came back to Jesus, and the point of the miracle to bring into the family of God happened for him. He saw it. You came back. And look, I welcome you in. Your faith has healed you. Well done. Well done. Gosh, restored into a family. Restored into a family. The place that you sat at the table, now people want to hear what you have to say. You're not the silent chair anymore. You've been welcomed in, and now you know it. You know it. I'll invite the worship team up, please, and I'm going to finish with a personal testimony. These are just a few things from my experience. I told you that, like, I'm working through rejection in some places in my life. And it's, you know, the places where it seats the most are with people you have some of the highest value for. So when it happens with especially those individuals, it really sinks in, or it's easier for it to sink in. I still had to make the agreement to believe it. Remember, it's a piece where it's like, you know what? If I didn't agree with any of that, I wouldn't have any of that. But I think the Lord's not surprised by it. So this comes up where I found myself in this place where I'm like, gosh, you know, like, I see this reception problem. I see this receiving issue. I see where my heart has become hard in that piece in particular. I'm so welcoming of other things that the Lord is doing in my life and interacting in him. But those ones, those are the places that I don't like to go, right? So I open up and I'm like, Lord, realistically, there are some places where, yes, I have been hurt. There are also places where I'm just offended. And sorting out the difference when you feel like that can be hard. So you know what I asked for? I was like, Lord, like, it's even some of, like, with some of the people that are usually some of my counselors and all that stuff, like, I need you to speak to me soberly. Can you just give some, like, basically, like, fresh voices to help me hear soberly? Okay, fresh voices to help me hear soberly for the time, just so that I can sort this out. Okay, so I can hear from you so that there's no biases, all that stuff. And so I asked him, send some people. And so he does, you know. He said, first he sends this person that, very sweet woman, who sends this video to me. And there's like 13 minutes in this video that honestly, I'm sure if some people watched it, they'd be like, what the heck are you looking at? When I first watched those 13 minutes, I stood in my bedroom just weeping, because I felt immediate healing in this one particular portion where there was this acknowledgement of what has actually happened. That piece where I say acceptance of the situation, boom, happened right there. That very second, I wept because I could feel in my heart where I had so much grace that was coming out where I wanted the best for everyone. And I was like, I know that there's other things that still have to be resolved, but that one, man, it just sank. It sank so well. So grateful. I can't tell you how many times I've listened to it since then. And you know, then there's this person that that reaches out to me, and they're like, "Hey," they put out an invitation for a New Year's party, New Year's Eve party, every year to a bunch of people throughout the state and all that, and it's something you have to RSVP to. Well, they just put my name on the list, and they called me and basically said, "You're coming to my party." And I was like, "Okay, I have like hardly talked to you in the last like 2 years." And yet they say, "You're coming to our party." They have no basis of that. So I go, and man, as I walk around in this place, I'm with these people, and all of these places where I see where my trust in God has waned, all these places of like believing in my life, that my life would be greater, like what I know the Lord has called me, I know that the Lord has called me as a sent one, okay? I know that there is a mantle on my life, and has been in question in a lot of those places. And as I sat there, like I'm with these people, and I'm watching these people who I believe actually are very similar to me, and they're talking about scripture, like scriptures that they love, believers and non-believers. Okay, they're talking about it like they're all the same. All right, they're talking about it like they're all the same. And I'm looking over, and there's this person that I went to try to reach out to and help years ago. And he's standing over there, and he's like, great things have happened in his life. I haven't talked to him in like years. And then I saw, oh my gosh, look what happened. And I was reminded of all of these things that were challenged. Almost like the Lord set the appointment to remind me what was stolen from me, one piece at a time. Who wants that for their life? Look what rejection has stolen. You might not even be able to see it till your eyes are open to it. Okay, ask the Lord, open my eyes. Open my eyes to see it. Because then it's like restoration, one step at a time. You know what? I'll get up. I'm going to go and I'm going to bless people that I'm still working through struggle with. Okay? I'm going to step into things of faith that I'm still being criticized for. I'm going to step into places that at least one little piece at a time, this one spot that I know that I'm hearing really well from the Lord in, I'm going to step into those one piece at a time. And man, let that compassionate, overflowing with abundance God bring you healing. One piece at a time. I don't care if you're 20 and you have struggles with rejection, or if you're 80 and you have struggles with rejection. Everyone's got it in some fashion. Okay? To say that you don't have something like that, you know, maybe the Lord's done a ton of healing, but that's like saying you don't need the cross of Christ. We need the cross of Christ. So I'm going to pray. And what I want to do is I want to actually just lead it through for anyone who wants to work through this on their own. Okay? I'm going to lead you through what it means to like walk in healing and repentance as far as rejection is concerned. All right? So if you'd bow your heads. Father, I know that this word is significant to your family, and it is anointed to do the same things that you were anointed for. I know that I hear from your Spirit in this one. And I ask, Lord, for each person in stepping into this, that you, first of all, give them a willingness of heart. Anything that would stand up and try to fight this or make it feel awkward, get rid of the awkwardness. Just let them be like, you know what? Me too. I got it too. Let everyone here feel freedom to walk in it, to walk in this. So if you've been convicted today in the sense, and what I mean is that the Lord has spoken to your heart. He's highlighted something where a piece of your life has been stolen through rejection. Because you agreed with it, but it has happened. I want you to first bring it to mind. I want you to acknowledge what it is, okay? Acknowledge it. And say something along the lines between you and the Lord of, I know this happened in my life. I don't even know all the consequences of it, but I know this happened in my life, and it's affected a lot for me. Take a second and do that between you and the Lord. Now I want you to think if that particular thing has brought any kind of resentment, resistance, revenge, isolation, if that's brought any of those kinds of things up and you're feeling them as you think about them, I want you to confess those things to the Lord. And I want you to tell him how you don't want them. Tell him how you don't want them between you and him. And repent of it. Say, I'm sorry, Lord, for the resistance I've held. I'm sorry for the resentment I've carried, that I wouldn't lay it down. I'm laying it down now. I'm laying it down now. And anything that has come up from that where you're like, if, let's say, that particular piece of rejection has made you feel unworthy with certain people. Let's start with that, because usually it shows up with the people who hurt us first. Say, I release them. I release them. You've said freely that we have been given. So I freely give them the grace you've given to me. Freely give it. I let it go. Any agreements that you've had where you say, man, I believed rejection, that I couldn't speak about this, I couldn't say this, I couldn't walk like this, I couldn't do that. All the I couldn'ts or I shouldn'ts. Bring those to mind and repent of them. Say, God, I am sorry that I have grieved with something that you did not send to me. And Holy Spirit, now I want to ask that you place something on the hearts of each person who is meeting with you in this now. Something that is a step of faith forward to restore and to heal. Something that just comes to mind from all of this, like, oh, the Lord's been telling me to do this. Or anything, remind them of something that would encourage their faith. Remind them of something that would encourage their faith and bring restoration that they could be walking in this week. And if that resonates with anyone, then commit to the Lord and say, Lord, this week I want to make a solid effort. I'm going to make a solid effort to walk in faith in what you've just spoken to me. I believe that the cross has emptied rejection of its power. I believe that the cross has emptied the enemy of his power. And Lord, show each of us how to live according to your word and promise that sets us free, that gives us eyes to see the gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abounding in love. Abounding in love. In Jesus' name, amen.